I'd like you to imagine a prison cell. It's dark. The air is musty. One small barred window lets in the light. The sound of voices echo, 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 echo through the room because of the hard walls. In this particular prison cell, you can see two men, one older, the other one a little bit younger. And as you look at the older man in particular, he's quite a sight. He's quite a sight. Just above his thick gray beard, you see the nose of a man whose nose has been broken a number of times. You see that he's missing quite a few teeth. You see scars across his face, and because his hair is thinning, you can see the scars on his head as well, as if he'd been pelted or struck many times. Because prison clothes don't fit very well, at least not in this particular cell, you catch a glimpse of his back. His back is riddled with scars. Long diagonal lines, especially. Long diagonal lines. Lines like one who has endured many a flogging, many a whipping. Looks like chicken wire across his back. You think, who is this guy? How did he get into the prison? Why is he there? And what's he thinking about? How does he feel about being in prison? Does he know when he's going to get out? Is he angry? Is he bitter? Is he frustrated? If you were in a place like that, how would you feel? What would you be thinking in that prison cell? As you watch him for a few moments, eventually he speaks, and it's almost like he's dictating. The older guy talks, and the younger guy is writing down what the older man is saying on a piece of, looks like parchment. And even though the walls are echoey because of the hard surfaces, you can just barely make out what's being said. The older man speaks. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. These famous words were written by the Apostle Paul with his associate, ministry associate Timothy, while they were in a prison cell. They were writing to the church at the time, the church in Philippi. It was a congregation they were part of starting a few years prior, trying to encourage this young church to endure in their faith. And these words, by God's grace, have endured for thousands of years and have encouraged countless Christians in their walk with God. I've learned the secret, Paul writes, to being content in any and every situation. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 today, just looking really at about a predominantly a verse and a half. Second part of verse 12 and verse 13, just walking through it slowly. I hope you'll open up your Bibles. We have paper Bibles in the back if you don't have one. We'd love for you to have one. It's an amazing book that will change your life. If you've got a smart gadget, you can download YouVersion right now, and amazing Bible and Bible resources for free. Jump on our Wi-Fi network. Make it happen one way or another. Please put the Word of God in your hands and read it. Paul writes, so he's in prison right now. He doesn't know whether he's going to get out. He doesn't know whether he's going to live or die even. And he says, I have learned the secret of being content. And I just wanted to talk about that for a minute, because it seems that contentment can be learned. You ever thought about that? We can learn to be content. Contentment doesn't just happen to you. It's something we learn. So I was thinking recently about how often discontentment is a positive part of life. Something that actually helps us to move forward and learn. Think about it. For just about anybody that has ever come to faith, there has been a discontentment somewhere in that journey. So maybe the unrest that you felt was more of a rational or an academic. How does the world work? Or if the world is so beautiful and it just seems so connected and harmonious, and all the pieces fit together, the wonder of creation around us. Could there be a creator? And so that those kinds of questions, they start you on a journey, start looking for answers. I just need to know, is there something or someone behind all of this? And it starts a journey, and the discontentment leads to discovery, which leads to life change. For some, the discontentment that we feel is more of that, it's kind of emotional, it's more relational, it's the, do I matter? Is there any purpose behind me being here? Am I just the product of dumb luck and random chance? And if there's a purpose for me, how will I know it? Can I know it? And if I matter, why do I matter? And that discontentment, that gnawing, that question, it drives us to discovery. And we find answers. For some, the discontentment is much more just physical and tangible. Like, dear God, if you are out there, if anything or anyone is out there and you're hearing my prayer, just help. I'm in a mess and I cannot solve it by myself. Help me. If you're out there, help me. And that discontent drives us to the point of discovery. And with discovery, there is life change and there is answers. Where are you frustrated today? Where are you discontent? Where are you hurting? Maybe you're here today because you're just checking things out. There's on some level, you feel a bit of a hole in your soul, and you're saying, maybe God can do, if God is real, if God is out there, if there's anything, maybe all of us have been on some sort of a journey with discontentment. So if you're here and that's where you are today, thanks for being here and welcome. You're with friends. For some of us, that journey to faith, it happens over time and it's a gradual process of discovery. For some, there's this one big dramatic moment and we start to see the answers that we're looking for? Where are you discontent today? Because this old man Paul in the prison, says discontentment. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean, because discontentment, it can lead to disappointment, can't it? You ever felt that? Or sometimes we just try to numb the pain. We distract ourselves, so just keep the media coming, man, because I know if I turn off the TV, I'm going to start to have to think on my own, and I don't want to face those questions. Or we self-medicate. I'm hurting, and I just need the pain to go away. We all find ways to deal with our discontentment. But Paul is challenging us, and I believe the Holy Spirit through the Bible today is challenging us to instead lean into our places of discontent and see what discoveries there might be in it. Because contentment, it says, can be learned. It can be learned. It doesn't just happen. It can be learned. And even more so, it says there's a secret. Now, I think it's one of these secrets that you kind of, in the Bible at least, you find hidden in plain sight. It's not like a buried treasure. It's more sort of a treasure just out there. But it's the one that we so often miss, isn't it? I mean, we think, if I just make a little bit more money, what does the survey say? That most people believe if they just made $10,000 more a year, they would be that, you know, they'd be so, so much happier. On some level, perhaps that's true. But we just think that a little bit more money or a little bit more stuff or a little bit more sense of success is going to lead to contentment. And Paul says, contentment can be learned. It's through knowing the secret. Do you know the secret? What is it? I've learned the secret, Paul says, of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Because, you know, our discontent happens both in our times of desperation. I mean, when we're broke, we definitely feel discontent because we're broke. And then we get wealthy, and then we feel discontent because we realize that the people around us are wealthier. And we don't have the stuff that we wish we wanted. And even for all the stuff that we acquire, we still don't feel like we've made it. We still don't really feel successful. There's discontent in every economic bracket. Where are you discontented today? So whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, this is the secret. I can do all this through him. Now, who's the him? Jesus Christ, yeah. Through him who gives me strength. I can do all this. Let me see your eyes for a second. Let me see your eyes. I know some of you, you're trying to tune out. I won't be much longer, I promise, okay? God, this promise is that God has given you everything you need to do everything that God has called you to do in life. That doesn't for a second mean it's easy. That doesn't mean for a second that everything that's happened to you was God's will, or we just sort of pretend that it was good even though it was really crappy, or I'm not supposed to say that in church, right? Okay, so, but it doesn't mean we need to celebrate everything that's happened to you, but it means that God is aware of where you are. He knows what you are going through. And he has made available through Jesus Christ everything you need to do everything he is calling you to do. You have gifts, you have talents, you have resources, you have the ability to call on resources. God may place you in situations that are more than you can handle. When people say that God will never give, don't ever listen to that. That's not in the Bible anywhere. God frequently places people in situations that are more than they can handle, but he will never place you in a situation, let me see your eyes again, that is more than he can handle. He will never place you in a situation that is more than he can handle. That his strength is sufficient. It's enough. In John 15, chapter 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So everything that, every piece of production that your life is capable of having, you have got what you need. You have got everything you need to succeed. At least to succeed by God's standards. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, John 15:5, Jesus speaking to his disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. It sounds a lot like Paul, doesn't it? I can do all things. All this. I can endure everything. Doesn't mean I enjoy everything, but I can make it through everything. Through him who gives me strength. What kind of strength does Jesus give? I mean, he gives us the strength of perspective. So funny, isn't it? You know, when we're in a time of crisis, who here had at least one moment in the past week who said, I'm feeling stressed right now? I'm going to put my hands up twice, okay? When we're in that moment of stress, it feels like, okay, this is a big crisis. I don't know how I'm going to make it through it. And, oh, it's terrible and it's awful. But when we look at the bigger picture, Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave, and offers life. Like, not just like, oh, you feel better, but like physical flesh and blood life everlasting in heaven. So you think, there's going to be a time, 1,000 years from now, just to quote a song I just released on an album last week, okay, but that we're going to look back on all this stuff and go, you know, that really stunk, but that really wasn't the big deal. That was negative and I didn't like it, but now it seems very small. Think about it. The worst trial you will experience in life from the perspective of eternity doesn't mean it will look good from the perspective of eternity, but it will look smaller. It will look smaller. So we lean on Jesus. We have that strength of perspective. Also, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm going to send a comforter, a friend, a guide. You'll do even greater things than me. And so as we call on the name of Jesus, we discover the Spirit's power at work in our hearts and in our lives. We discover a degree of patience that we didn't have before, a degree of compassion and kindness and generosity and trust that we didn't have before. Anybody ever experienced that? Those times when you were like, God, you just have to help me. Please, will you meet me here? Please, will you get me through this? And amazingly enough, he did. And he gave you what you needed. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I just want to ask you today, where are you frustrated? Where are you discontent? And can you give that to God today? Don't dull the pain. Don't dull the pain. Lean into it. Say, God, what can I learn from this? I know your plans for me ultimately are good. That doesn't mean that everything I'm in is good. Doesn't mean everything I'm in is part of what you caused to happen. But God, I know you can get me through this. I know you can give me the things I need to take the next step forward. And let that discontent drive you to discovery. And to life change. And learning. So I want to close this in a time of prayer. And if you've been walking with the Lord for many years, I just invite you to lay in fresh ways before God the places where you're struggling in life right now, just the frustration, the discontentment, the problem that's just seems too big for you because it probably is too big for you, just to lay that before God in a time of silence. I also want to give an opportunity for those who are, you're kind of on the fringes of faith, you're not sure where you are, but maybe today is a day that you can actually take that first step across the line and say, okay, I want to be a follower of Jesus today. I want to ask God into my heart and into my life and say, God, I want to know that kind of strength. I need your help today. And I invite you to come into my life and provide that kind of help and strength that you promised. I'm going to provide an opportunity for that and invite people that want to take that first step to raise their hand. I'm not going to put you on the spot, no big speeches or anything like that, but just want to pray for you, because that's kind of what we're about as a church, is helping people take those steps of faith. So where are you frustrated today? Where are you discontent? Contentment can be learned. There's a secret to it. The secret is Jesus. He's closer than you think. And he's strong enough to bring you through it. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are powerful and strong. Thank you that around this room, as we hear stories, whether those of those who are finding victory over addiction, those who have been just through horrible, horrible circumstances in life and found you faithful to provide the strength. God, thank you that as we listen to the stories from the past, we learn that you're faithful. Because God, we need to remember that in the present too. Because we struggle now. And our frustrations are real. And our discontentment is real. And God, we hurt. And so, Lord, we want to lay before you the areas of pain in our life, the areas of frustration. And we ask you for strength. So, congregation, Just silently, just lift up your prayers to your Heavenly Father. Just call on him. Ask him to help. Ask him to meet you in the pain. And Lord, we pray for those who are taking those first steps of faith today. Those who are asking you into their life and into their heart, that taking that risky move of looking for an answer beyond themselves. And if that's you today, just invite you, just put your hand up. Put your hand up. There we go. 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 About six of our brothers today, sisters, taking that step, entering the kingdom of God. So Lord, you know exactly where they are in life. You know exactly what they need. You love them more than they could ever know. Thank you that you are enough, that your grace is enough, that you can bring them and all of us through everything that life faces. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you that through you, we can do all this because you give us the strength. Amen.